Philly Hutch Funk Radio, Phil Sutherland, and Jim Chesko.
It's Wednesday, November 11th, 2020. Welcome to the Veterans Day edition of Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable, brought to you by the Irish Rover Station House in Langhorne, PA, and Allstate Insurance in Westchester, PA. I'm Bill Furman. I'll be your host tonight, along with my partner, Jim Chet Chesko. Hey, Chet, the Eagles had a bye week, but got the win they needed from the Giants when they beat the football team. The Sixers have finalized their coaching staff and rolled out their new uniforms. We're certainly going to talk about that. Yes, they are hideous. couldn't help myself. Penn State starts the season 0-3 after being taken behind the woodshed by Denny Malloy's Maryland Terrapins. That's right, Maryland. And more importantly, Chet, happy Veterans Day to your dad, my father-in-law as well, and all of our veterans.
Yeah, Bill, happy Veterans Day to all who've served. Our pal Denny is still jumping up and down, giving me crap about Maryland whooping our Nittany Lions. Hey, strange things happen here in 2020, guys. We will have to discuss that later, but we're going to talk lots of football tonight. Let's see what we do have on tap. We have Eagles talk, of course. Big division game coming up this Sunday at the Meadowlands. And Freddie Burns will stop by with his fantasy football talk later on in the show. And Bill, it is not on the agenda, but you and I are going to square off in a game of Jeopardy later on in memory of Alex Trebek.
Ah, you didn't tell me that. All right, I'll be ready. Well, hey, we got great guests tonight making a return visit to Philly Press Box Radio and WIP's James Seltzer to help us solve all the Philly sports problems. And there's a load of them, Jet. But James, welcome back.
Yeah, it is an honor and a pleasure to be back, fellas. Asking me to solve the problems, I think, might be a bridge too far, as they say. We got some problems, fellas.
Speaking of problems, this is just our second week with this new technology, so I'm still getting used to it. So that's why it was off to a shaky start right there. But, you know, James, you may not realize this, but back in March, you and Charlie O'Connor were on our final show of the pre-pandemic era, as we like to call it. A couple of days later, of course, the sports world shut down. WIP canceled that Eagles town hall that I was hoping to see you at the following Monday. Yeah. And, well, none of us has been to a live sporting event since. But I just want to congratulate you and the guys at WIP for managing to survive the spring and summer when there were pretty much no live sports to discuss. And yet you somehow pulled it off. I have to ask, how tough was that planning a daily 4-hour radio show to have virtually no topics to discuss?
Yeah, thanks, Chet. Well, I really appreciate that. And I know Joe and John and everyone down there appreciates it. I mean, it was definitely the hardest thing I've ever had to do since I've been in this business without a question. It's one of those things where, you know, you start off and you're concerned about it. You're like, all right, what are we going to do? First of all, you're concerned about what's happening in the world. You know, first of all, we're doing, you know, we did like a week of shows just talking about COVID and the impact on sports and the impact on the world and all these things that are, you know, very different from arguing about Carson Wentz or whatever, you know, so definitely a change there. But once we started to get into it and started to realize, all right, we need to be creative. We need to think outside the box. We need to try and find different angles on things that actually, honestly, I think we ended up doing some of our best shows in that time because it kind of opened us up a little bit and allowed us to, you know, maybe talk about something we wouldn't have talked if we were focusing on, you know, what the score was the game last night or what Joe Girardi did or a ball Carson Wentz threw. So, you know, it was hard. It was long. It was definitely a lot of work. But I think in the end, it definitely, it's something that we feel proud of, that we were able to kind of make it through that time and not really let the quality suffer. You know, that was the worry, is it would kind of get stale or it would get, you know, kind of boring or nothing interesting to talk about. And I was really proud of the shows we put off. So it was definitely tough, but it was also something that, you know, looking back on, I'm very proud of. Now, I don't want sports to go away again. You know, trying to do it again might be tough. But thanks for saying that, man. It really meant a lot. So,
Bill? Hey, James, you know, as we look back 8 months now, and we've completed a hockey season and an NBA season and a baseball season, and you mentioned quality of your shows. What do you think of the quality of the product that these leagues ended up putting out under these circumstances? Some maybe good, maybe some not so good.
Yeah, it's a great question. I agree. I think there were varying levels of success with it. I thought, I mean, hockey felt like playoff hockey to me. I mean, the whole thing felt real. It felt natural. I didn't notice the fans not being there. Now, obviously, the way they shoot hockey, there aren't as many shots of the crowd as maybe you would see in a baseball game or whatever with every foul ball or whatever. But I thought they did a great job, and it felt like the level of intensity was there. So I thought hockey crushed it. I thought it was perfect. Basketball, I really loved the bubble at first. Like during the regular season games, I thought the bubble was awesome. It was unique. I thought it was fun. The virtual fans, I liked the whole thing. I thought in the playoffs, and while I didn't hate it by any means, I did think you felt it in the playoffs, the lack of fans, the lack of that, you know, kind of energy to the games that I don't think was there. And I think it played out, and, you know, I thought Miami was a fun run and all that, but if they have to go on the road, you know, four games in a series against Milwaukee or against Boston, I don't know if they win those series. So I don't know if it kind of impacted the outcome or not, but I thought basketball was fine. Baseball was probably the one I think suffered the most. You felt it, you know, that the empty, and it's funny too, cause I went in thinking, I was like, I've watched a lot. I watch baseball all the time. I watch the package. I'm watching like Tigers games and Royals games and all these, you know, random games. And guess what? There are not a lot of fans at those games in June, July, August when teams are out of it. But even that, even without people on home plate, like either you could notice it. It felt a little more empty, a little less energy to it. So I think of all of them, I think baseball suffered the most from it. And also, I mean, the other two were kind of finishing a season, so it felt a little less sham-like, so to speak. Like the baseball season just, it didn't feel like a real baseball season to me. So personally.
Well, let's talk a little football. The Eagles are playing. It's been a weird season for them and yes, the entire NFL, I guess. A lot of guys coming back, which is great. Miles Sanders, that's a plus. Alshon Jeffrey also back. And I'm a little worried about the fact that he's perhaps healthy. What's that going to do to the wide receiver rotation? Hopefully it's not going to take away from, you know, Travis Fulgham and Greg Ward and these guys.
Chat, let me tell you, if Alshon Jeffrey takes one snap away from Travis Fulgham, I might lose my mind. I'm so with you. Look, I think I'm like most Eagles fans. I think most of us have kind of moved on from Alshon Jeffrey. I don't think we need to see him out there. I don't think we care about seeing him out there. I'd rather see young guys. And Fulgham, it's become a no-brainer. I mean, he is proving to be potentially really legit and certainly an NFL player. I mean, you absolutely cannot take that guy off the field. If it were J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, maybe it's a little easier to take that guy off the field for Alshon or whatever. But ultimately, I don't think Alshon's going to be that effective. That's a real injury. The Liz Frank is like, that's a tough injury to come back from at his age, his size, his history of injuries. Like, I'm not expecting anything from him, and I'm concerned that they're going to do what they do every year with all these old guys. We're just seeing with Jason Peters. The fact that Jason Peters is going to start over Jordan Mailata is an outrage. It's crazy. Mailata is a better player right now, much less all the future implications and all that. So I'm nervous they're going to do the same thing with Alshon and try and put him in the starting lineup, get him out there, all that, when – you know, look, I don't want him playing at all, but if they're going to play him, like put him in for the red zone or something. And that's it. That's all I would do personally. I'm just nervous that they're going to try and force him in there more.
Mm-hmm. Well, James, as the Eagles sit here at midseason, they're getting a lot of heat from the locals. From the players, the coaches and all that. But hey, they're in first place and they're going to win the NFC East and they're going to the playoffs and they're going to host the home game. Thank you. Right on cue, Chet. I didn't even know that was coming. Good man. you know, they're going to win this division. I don't care if the division stinks or not. The idea is to finish first, and they're going to finish first. And so with all the injuries and all the stuff going on, is it warranted to be on these guys a little bit, or are they getting a little bit of a hard time because they've struggled? But hey, I'll struggle all day and be in first place.
Yeah, it's honestly I don't ever remember a season like this in my life as an Eagles fan. I think it's the most unique situation we've ever kind of been confronted with in terms of this type of thing where they are I agree with you, Bill. Like that is a true statement in my mind. They're going to win the NFCs. They're the best team in the NFCs, but they're a horrible football team. Like they are. And look, getting some guys back could help a little bit, but there's not a good football team. It's a fact. Like they're a bottom 10 team in the league this year. And yet, 6-9-1, 7-8-1. We're going to be going to the playoffs. So it's a really unique thing. Look, ultimately, I do think that I'm not one of those people who says tank for a pick or whatever. I mean, they're not getting a top pick in the draft anyway. Like, I know it could be a top 10 pick, but I still think making the playoffs matters. It's what the sport is about. And Carson Wentz has still not played a full playoff game, right? I mean, that was the big thing last year. Get Carson playoff experience. He didn't really get it. So, like, even that to me alone, getting him experience, giving him the chance to play a home playoff game is worthwhile. And look, like Chet said before, I mean, Miles Sanders coming back. Hopefully, maybe Lane Johnson can be healthy enough to play multiple games in a row. Isaac Samalo coming back. I mean, just getting that offensive line healthy and together could be such a massive boon for this team. So, I mean, could they be good enough to beat, like, I don't know, the Bears or you know, who are some of those other teams in that range? I mean, I guess Tampa Bay, maybe.
Tampa Bay, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think they could beat one of those teams at home. I mean, I wouldn't bet on them. I don't think they'll be a favorite, no matter who they're playing. But, I mean, it's certainly possible. And then you roll the dice. It's the playoffs. So I'm with you. I'm rooting for them to make the playoffs. I want them to make the playoffs. But it would be nice if they, when they get these guys back, can maybe get on some sort of a roll heading in there where it just doesn't feel so hopeless that it's like, yeah, we're going to make the playoffs for this team's a joke. And I think a lot of that comes to Wentz. You know, Wentz needs to play better. I think we all know that.
Well, speaking of Carson Wentz, he's been on a lot of people's minds the last couple of days, yeah, including the mind of Brett Favre. We heard Brett Favre say they should have kept Nick Foles. And then Doug Peterson today in an epic news conference had three opportunities, and it took him till the third one to kind of get it right, where he basically just said, well, yeah, Brett's entitled to his opinion, instead of backing his quarterback. Carson, well, what do you make of this whole thing?
All right, well, first and foremost, go away, Brett Favre. That's the my number one thought is, Brett, no one cares what you think. Just keep your opinions to yourself. I could not care less what Brett Favre has to think about the Eagles, or to be frank, really anything. So that's my very first thought on the Brett Favre situation. But yeah, like Doug, Chad, I think you described it really well. So basically, I mean, given two chances, Tim McManus asked him a very fair question. Hey, Brett Favre said this, you know, what do you think? And he's like, he's entitled to his opinion. Every football coach, every fan on the planet knows, like, whatever he thinks there he has to say, Carson's my guy. I don't agree with Brett. Even if you want to say, hey, listen, Brett's entitled to his opinion. You can think whatever he wants. Carson's our guy. That's pretty clear. Let's move on. He could have been done with it. So then a follow-up. Les Bowen basically was like, oh, you know, you realize what you're saying here, Doug. And he does it again. He did it again. It took Rob Motti spoon-feeding him the question and basically being like, Doug, before the world burns down with your answer, like, you sure you don't want to reconsider what you're saying here? And
then that was
like,
awesome.
And then even then, Doug's like, wait, are you talking about Nick and Carson? Oh, yeah, of course. Carson's my guy. It was bad, man. It was a bad look. And I know Doug's not great in press conferences and all that type of stuff. And look, you won a Super Bowl. Like, you can be bad in press conferences and still be a successful coach. But there are things like that and times like that where it does concern me because, again, not even a coach, like anyone who follows football at all knows what he's supposed to say in that moment, knows what he should say in that moment. And for him to just be so far off base twice before getting spoon-fed an answer, it's concerning. It has to be a little concerning.
Hey, let's jump over and talk Phillies a minute.
JT, do we have to, Bill?
Yeah,
do we have to.
JT Realmuto, as expected, declined his offer. He's a free agent. Mm-hmm. That's not sitting well with Philly fans either, as you well know. What's your take on that?
My take is I don't think Realmuto is going to be back. Ultimately, I don't think they're going to. Look, the only way he comes back is if the market is so depressed, which is possible. Again, we're hearing a lot of owners cry poor, all that type of stuff. If the market is so depressed that the offers are comparable, I do think he likes it here. I think he is buddies with Bryce. I think all that stuff does matter. So if it's close, I do think the Phillies have a chance. I just, you know, Steve Cohen's going to pay more if he wants to. If Steve Cohen wants JT Realmuto, he's going to be a Met. And I think, like, it all comes back to this central issue of the Phillies are a mess right now. I mean, I don't know why you would trust them to make the right decision about anything. I mean, the fact that they're considering hiring Jim Hendry, I mean, it's like, what are we doing? What are we doing here? Like, it is so crazy to me that Andy McPhail is sitting in that office, sitting in that building, like, giving John Middleton advice. Like, how does Andy McPhail keep his job in the first place, much less be the guy who's in his ear, be the Rasputin in his ear, telling him what to do? Like, it, the whole thing, I have so little faith in John Middleton's. No, I mean, Andy McPhail, zero. I mean, I just want him gone. I just, whether as soon as possible, I want Andy McPhail away from my baseball team. But I think the bigger issue for getting the roster, for getting the players, is that I have very, very little faith in John Middleton, especially contrasting with Steve Cohen buying the Mets. And not only is he four times plus richer than John Middleton, he's worth like $14 billion as the richest owner in baseball. Regardless of that, like, he just seems like a smart business guy. Like, he seems like he knows what he's doing. He comes in and says all the right things and makes all the, you know, he fired his entire front office. He did what Middleton couldn't do with McPhail. He did it in two days of owning the team. Like, so and you look at the rest of the division, you look at the Braves, a juggernaut with so much young talent still on the way up. Washington just won the World Series. They have Juan Soto. They have talent in the minors. Even the Marlins have young talent. Like, I just feel like the Phillies are really in danger of falling into the fifth spot in the NL East and really, you know, in a lot of trouble for the future. They've put their kind of chips in right now with Harper, Romuto, even if they don't sign him, that was their move. You know, Nola, Wheeler, all these guys who are ready to compete now, and the team's not close to good enough. So either you have to spend and put people around this and get a smart person in here, or you blow it up, like one of those two. And I think the most likely scenario is they're just going to kind of play it down the middle of the road and continue to be this mediocre team. And until they bring in someone here who is smart and has direction and knows how to build and run a baseball team, they're going to be in trouble.
I had a little tirade last week, James, similar to what you just did, but you did it way more impressively than I did. There's nothing else we can say about the Phillies right now. Let's go on to the Sixers, okay?
Yes. Who would have thought, if you had told me the last time we talked in March, that I would be way more excited to talk Sixers than Phillies. I would have told you guys are crazy.
And, James, I got to tell you, I heard a little of your latest Go Birds podcast with Elliot Shore Parks. So I think I know how you feel about this, which is the new Sixers uniform. And I can try to
there it is. Yeah.
Give us your best take on these Sixers uniforms, James.
Yeah, well, Bill nailed it in the open. I mean, it's horrific. It's just horrific. They are horrible uniforms. It is disastrous. And I love Boathouse Row. I lived in Fairmount for a decade. Like, that is my spot in the city. I love it. I think it's the most beautiful place in the city. But, like, it doesn't even look – I mean, it's weird looking and awkward. And it just – they look stupid. I mean, we just flat out. They are bad looking jerseys. It is what it is. I'm not someone who generally overreacts to jerseys. I don't care that much. Like, whatever. I'm not a big jersey guy. But those are really bad. You know, those are rough. Yeah.
They're too busy for one. There's too much stuff.
Too much stuff going on. Way too much stuff.
I did notice they managed to get StubHub in there though.
Oh, yeah. Well, they had the TTP there, which was cool. That was nice. But
because that process has worked so well.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Yeah. Right above the D is a little TTP. I see it too.
Yeah. Right there. I like it. So I dig that. It could have worked. Hey, it's part two. We got Daryl Morey now.
I have a question on those uniforms, though. Is it just the black uniforms going to look like that, or is that going to be on all their uniforms?
No, I think those are just for those specific uniforms, from what I understand. Yeah, that won't be all of them.
They've got like five or six different uniforms, so we'll only see that once in a while.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Go ahead, Bill.
Well, talking about the change in coaching staff, the change in management. This team looks like it's wanting to be serious about moving forward. They need some shooters. You see big changes coming?
Well, yeah. I think first and foremost, I mean, they did what the Phillies couldn't as well. I mean, Daryl Morey clearly willing to uproot in the middle of a pandemic. Andy McPhail, take notice, like a couple days before your press conference. But, I mean, Daryl Morey, like what Josh Harris did, and I thought Josh Harris, you know, 4 months ago was rock bottom as far as Phillies owners go or Philadelphia owners go. And he is lapping John Middleton. I mean, he just went out and said, all right, like, I'm going to get smart people and put them in place. I'm going to get people who are successful at this, who have accomplishments at this. I mean, Daryl Morey is a top five smart guy in the sport, like a top five executive in the sport. I mean, he is like, those guys don't leave teams. They never leave. Like, if you have one of those guys, he's there forever. Sam Presti, Danny Ainge, like all these guys, they just stay with the same team forever. Those guys never are on the market. And they had a unique opportunity. And look, a big part of it was luck with them, with Doc Rivers getting fired by the Clippers there. And it just kind of all fell in their lap. But credit for taking advantage of it. You know, credit for going out and saying, all right, here's $10 million a year. Do your thing. Thank you. Like, that's what a good owner does. A good owner comes in and says, here's my money. You are smart. Do your thing that you're smart at. Like, that's what good owners do. That's what good managers do. It's what good business people do. Josh Harris, whether we like him as an owner or not, is clearly a damn good businessman. And he knows what he's doing when it comes to business. And he's applying those tactics to the Sixers. He's like, okay, I'm going to give a really smart guy a lot of money, and I'm going to let him run his business. And that's smart. And the same thing with Doc Rivers, same idea. They had a perfect offseason. I was so down on the Sixers after the bubble. I really thought the future was in peril with Josh Harris at the wheel, so to speak. And in one offseason, they've completely flipped me around to where I believe in the structure of the organization. Even if Simmons and Embiid don't work, I think the guy who's in charge now can figure out how to maximize them the best, to get the most for one of them, to do whatever. Or if they can work, I trust Doc Rivers to figure it out more than I did Brett Brown. So I could not have. And look, I think roster changes will come too. I think they might not be as aggressive this offseason as next offseason, just because it's such a short offseason. I mean, the season starting in like a month, which is crazy or whatever. It's like insane. So, I mean, like, so who knows? I don't think it'll be a crazy offseason for roster movement. I think he'll kind of come in here and get a lay of the land and all that. But I think long term, they got the guy.
Are you buying into the James Harden trade rumors?
I don't know. I certainly not now. I don't think it's going to happen this offseason. But next offseason, maybe. I mean, it wouldn't be that. I think Morey's going to come in and see what he has with Simmons and Embiid, assess these guys, assess whether he thinks it can work. And if not, I certainly think that could be the type of guy you would trade a Ben Simmons for sure. I mean, look, Harden's one of the best guards of all time. Like, he's certainly one of the best scoring players ever. Maybe the best scorer, you know, since Jordan. So probably the best scorer since Jordan. So, you know, I think James Harden would be a good fit here if Ben Simmons weren't here. But I think Simmons and Harden could never, ever, ever play together with the, you know, needing the ball in their hands. So I think there's some validity to it. I wouldn't bet on it. You know, if it was, you know, I'd say like a low percent chance, but it's certainly possible, especially with the connection between Morey and Harden.
Well, hey, Chip, before we run out of time with James, I know you have something fun you want to do, because we know James isn't any fun, and he doesn't get excited. He has no passion.
I hate fun.
Ready to have some fun, James?
Always. It's my life motto, Chip.
One of my favorite things that you guys did on the Midday Show this summer was you putting Joe DeCamera on the hot seat with a weekly pop culture version of Beat the Hammer.
It was
embarrassing to hear Joe miss so many questions, but yet I loved it. It was very strange.
Oddly compelling, right? Yeah.
Yes. Like a train wreck. I just couldn't turn away. I'm going to put you through a little quick version of that game if you're up for it. And I'm positive you will do much better than Joe.
Hard not to.
Yeah, Chet. That's true. Yeah, and Bill Fehrman, I want you to let me know after we're done how many of these questions you know the answers to, because
I like
you're
this.
About the same as Joe DeCamera in terms of your pop culture knowledge. No,
probably
offense.
So.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. All right.
All right. So what we're going to do, I'm going to put 94 seconds on the clock since you are from 94 WIP. And we're going to do 10 questions. So I have faith that you're going to get most of these right away. A couple might be a little tougher than others, but here we go. We're going to start the clock as soon as I finish the first question, just like you, James.
Look at you.
I know how it's done.
You do. Well
so
done.
Here we go. I got my finger on the button. There we go. Only one movie released since theaters reopened in early September, James, has brought in more than $50 million domestically, a sci-fi film from director Christopher Nolan. As I start the clock, what's that movie?
Tenet.
Ding. Six acts, James, were inducted virtually into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame last weekend, including a large rapper whose real name was Christopher Wallace. Who's that late hip-hop artist?
That would be Notorious B.I.G.
You are good. Another inductee was a classic rock group whose hits include China Grove and Blackwater. What band?
That'd be the Doobie Brothers.
Three for three. In 1999's second highest grossing movie, it was one set in Philadelphia and included the memorable line, "I see dead people." What was the film?
The Sixth Sense. Classic.
In the popular sitcom, The Big Bang Theory, what were the first names of the two nerdy main characters?
Sheldon and Leonard.
Five for five. The actress Gwyneth Paltrow and ex-husband Chris Martin of Coldplay have a 16-year-old daughter whose name is also a fruit. What's that name?
I believe it's Apple, if I'm not mistaken.
Six for six. Number seven, one of the 1990s biggest one-hit wonders, had the line, "I get knocked down, but I get up again." Give me either the song title or the artist.
Was that Hanson? Or is, oh. No, Chumbawamba. Ooh. Excuse me, Chumbawamba. Oh.
Yeah, I'll give it to you.
You shouldn't. I messed it up. It's Chumbawamba.
Tub Thumping by Chumbawamba.
Yes.
Number 8. Who is the beautiful actress? Who is the beautiful actress who plays the Black Widow in several of those Marvel Cinematic Universe?
Scarlett Johansson.
Number 9. One of REM's best known songs is "Man on the Moon," a tribute to what comedian?
Andy Kaufman.
And we're out of time, but I'm going to give you number 10 anyway.
Why not?
In Will Ferrell's holiday hit movie Elf, what legendary comedian played Papa Elf?
Oh my God, I haven't seen it in so long. Hold on. Is it George Carlin?
Oh no!
Hold on. Oh my God,
you got
I can't
8.5 out of 10.
Is it Oh my God, I can't believe I can't remember this right now.
Bob Newhart.
Oh my God. Terrible job.
8.5 out of 10, though. But 8.5 points is what Joe got over the whole course of the summer.
That's true. I'm going to beat myself up over Bob Newhart for the next.
Bill, how many did you know?
3.
Okay, that's for you. That's not bad.
Yeah, 3. I knew the Doobies. I knew Sheldon and Leonard, and I actually knew Apple.
Oh wow, there you go. Look
yeah,
at that.
I did. Those and to be honest with you, Chet, question number 1, I didn't even know the theaters were open.
Oh, my goodness. That does not surprise me.
That was awesome. That was super fun, Chet.
Well, great. Good deal. Hey, James, we appreciate you coming by, man. Always good. And I love your passion.
Guys, it's always a pleasure. Anytime, let me know. Seriously, I really appreciate the offer. Thanks,
and folks, be sure to check out James and the Go Birds show every Saturday on WIP. Awesome. And you guys do like 3 or 4 podcasts a week, you and Elliot, and do a great
job. A lot of recording, a lot of podcasts. It's always there for you, so check it out. Thank you, Chad.
All right.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, James. All the best.
Thanks, man.
A pleasure, guys. Thank you so much.
All right.
See ya.
Hey, Chad, if you're looking for insurance in the tri-state area, we've got the spot for you. Allstate Insurance in Westchester, PA.
Yes, indeed, Bill. One of the best benefits of having an Allstate insurance policy is getting a local agent like Dave Lavoie, who is dedicated to you. Building that personal relationship means you can work with someone who knows you and understands your family's needs, someone you can call when you have questions or need help. Dave is dedicated to protecting what's most important to you and your family. Call Dave today at Allstate in Westchester, Pennsylvania at 610-430-0700. Once again, that number, 610-430-0700. And Bill, let's see if this works when I hit this button.
Hi, football fans. This is Merrill Reese, and you're listening to Bill and Chet on Philly Press Box Radio. It's good.
Hold on.
That technology's beating you up tonight,
man.
Oh,
man, I'll tell you. You start talking. You can start talking now.
Get us back.
I'll get
out
of him.
I was going to say, Merle thinks we're good. I think the Penn State Nittany Lions are not good. They stink. They got blown out by Maryland. They now sit 0-3. Not good. Hey, Chet, when you think about Penn State football through the paternal era and all the, as many years as we've been watching, what do you think the most about? What's the first thing that comes to your mind about Penn State football is they're going to be great on defense.
I was just going to say, great defense, especially linebackers.
That's right. So, game 1, they gave up 36. Game 2, they gave up 38. Game 3, they gave up 35. Guess what? You ain't winning. You stink.
As you recall, I was all over the place on Saturday, visiting with family, then stops at events in Allentown and Philly. So the good news for me, I did not see a single play of Saturday's mess. But I was listening to our pal Steve Jones and Jack Hamm call the game on radio while driving around. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I know you watched. So you tell me, what the hell is going on with this team?
Well, I mean, first of all, 35-19 final was not the story of the game. It was a 35-7 game. Yeah. Late in the game, and Penn State added a few things in there. But here's the story to me. Sean Clifford is the quarterback. He's leading the team in rushes, and he's leading the team in rushing yardage at only 150 yards, 2.9 yards a carry. Your quarterback has the most carries. That's a problem. That's a problem with your offensive line. It's a problem with your running backs, although Devin Ford is a young kid and good player. They lost guys due to injuries and other things. But, hey, it's a next man up kind of thing, and they're not getting it done.
Yeah, and I don't know where the season goes from here. I know a lot of people, like we said last week, want James Franklin fired, but that's not going to happen, especially during the year of a pandemic and the, you know, the university losing money. So he's going to be here not only this year, but in all likelihood for the next several years. I don't think they're going to get rid of James Franklin, despite outcry from a lot of people.
I have a real problem with James Franklin this week, Chet. You know, he came out and he, you know, I get it. These are rough times. They're rough times for everybody. But he came out and he said, hey, my family's in Florida. I'm in State College. They're my energy. I'm not doing a good job. I got stuff. Well, you know what? Everybody's got stuff. Wow. It's a hard time for everybody. That's an excuse. That's just a flat out excuse that I'm not buying. Everybody's got stuff going on, you know? Yeah. And there's a lot harder problems than a guy that's making a ton of money who can afford to send his family to Florida. And he's got a child that's got some issues, whatever they are. I don't know. But so I think that's why they got him away from the pandemic and all that stuff. But, you know, That's an excuse. I'm not buying it. I have a problem with James Franklin this week.
Yeah. Speaking of issues, a couple of this weekend's games got postponed due to COVID issues, including Alabama-LSU. Is that going to mess up more of this strange season?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think it is. I mean, at the end of the day, I don't know how you're going to decide who goes where and who does what. But I can tell you, though, the NFL can't match that product that we saw Saturday night when Clemson went to Notre Dame. And it was a big boy slugfest. It was a great football game, even with whatever there was, 12,000 fans or something like that, that stormed the field. It was a great football game. And, that's what you hope to see. It's just, it's going to be tough to sort it all out in the end. You know, I don't know where it goes from here.
I got home in time to see the whole fourth quarter, and that was a great game. I'm not a big Notre Dame fan, but hey, congrats to them.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I'm not a Notre Dame fan really at all, but they had the lead, then they got their backs against the wall and came back and made the plays. Ian Book was fantastic, and Clemson was too. Clemson was down quite a bit early on, came back and got after it. So, I don't know how it's all going to sort out at the end because you don't know who's going to play week to week. I mean, like you say, Alabama LSU is now canceled. Denny Malloy is just sending us a comment, Chet, that says Maryland, Ohio State has COVID issues. Not sure if they're playing. Well, it's Wednesday. It's Wednesday night. You know, so you don't know week to week what teams are even going to play, let alone what players are going to play.
I hear you. That's true.
All right. Well, hopefully it's going to get better. But I don't know. One other comment on college football before I use up too much time. Jim Harbaugh's in big trouble at Michigan.
Yeah, they're not having a great year.
Yes. All right. Kind of talking about that, the whole debacle, though, Chet, that makes me thirsty. And, you know, when I get thirsty, I think about the Irish Rover Station House.
Well, Bill, I could use a beverage from the Irish Rover right about now. They're over in Bucks County. And here's the deal. It's getting a little colder outside, but they're still offering outdoor patio seating for folks who aren't yet ready to dine indoors. But they also do have indoor seating with socially distant tables, of course. And in fact, to make it better for everybody, they have just made more seating available when needed by having opened up the banquet side of the building for regular dining. You already know they have a great menu and a full slate of beers and cocktails available. They're open daily and open for lunch Thursday through Sunday. They open at 3 Monday through Wednesday. The Irish Rover Station House is on Bellevue Avenue in Langhorne, and you can check them out on the web at irishroverstationhouse.com. And now, Bill, if this works, I'm going to scroll down and find some football music so we can talk to our next guest. Let's see if it works. Come on now. Yes, there he is.
There you go. Welcome back to Edge of Philly Sports Network. Freddie Burns back to talk fantasy football and make some more hot picks for the week.
Yo, I got to tell you guys, I didn't have the greatest day. Energy was dead. And when I watched James Seltzer on here, it totally just rejuvenated the hell out of me. Like, awesome. I love him in general, but like, that was awesome.
He's got a little passion to him. You got to love that.
Yeah, he's a great guy, too, man. Great guy.
Yeah. So now I'm ready. Thanks, James.
All right.
Talk to us. Tell us what's happening in the fantasy football world.
Injuries, bye weeks, ton of stuff going on. There are some options waiver wire wise with some matchups. So I like Jared Goff is on most waiver wires. I wouldn't start him every week, but he's going up against the Seattle Seahawks this week. Their pass defense is bad. It's very bad. He's going to get at least 20, if not more. McVay will probably scheme something up as well. So definitely go with Goff at the quarterback spot. Another Tua time. Tua's looking good in Miami. He had 2 touchdowns, 35 yards rushing, 0 interceptions. He's a guy, I don't know if I'd start him this week, but he's a waiver wire pickup that you definitely, you know, should think about grabbing the rest of the year. Running back-wise, J.D. McKissic in Washington. He's going to be – I like Antonio Gibson. He seems to be more like a Chris Thompson at this point. If he didn't fumble the ball, he would have had, another touchdown last week. But McKissic gets a lot of carries. They're going up against Detroit. They're not a great defense. That's a guy that's on the waiver wire you can get if you have an injury or a bye week. Who else is out there? Tevin Coleman of the 49ers. I said to get him last week. They ended up not playing him that Thursday, but he should play this week. Matt Breida in Miami. He's questionable, but if he plays, he should get a bulk of the carries. These are waiver wire pickups that you would stream in a pinch for your guys that your number one back, you lose, you know. Wide receiver, you guys are going to be excited about this, all right? So I say if he's still there, you pick up Travis Fulgham. I've been telling you guys to pick up Alshon Jeffery. He's playing this week. 5 catches, 60 yards.
Oh, stop.
I'm predicting it right now.
No.
And then the other guy who is probably not going to be on Philadelphia waiver wires, he did pop up on one of my 5 leagues. Jalen Reagor, you got to pick him up. Like he's the number one pick. He's going to start. They were moving him all over the offense against Dallas. They didn't have a lot of success, but it was like Tyreek Hill, the way they were moving him in motion. I think the rest of the year, you're going to get a lot of points out of him. If we move off the Eagles, Curtis Samuel, he's had 15, 19, I think 24 in his last 3 games in Carolina. He's on mostly all waiver wire. Seems like Bridgewater likes to get him the ball. He's a receiver you can grab. Tight end, it's still slim pickings. Jordan Reed, maybe. Trey Burton. They're all like hit or miss, though. You might get a 2 or you might get a 17 if they have, like, if the offense decides to focus on them that week. And then defenses that you can pick up. The Eagles defense against the Giants with Daniel Jones. I like the Vikings defense against Foles. And then I like the Saints defense against the 49ers.
Hey, Fred, I'm going to throw this up here and see if I can get it on the screen because Chris made a comment. Maybe you know about, maybe you don't, but it'd be interesting. There you go. Breeze and Thomas questionable for the Saints. Does that make a difference?
It would make a difference if I was starting. Probably not, because you would sit Breeze and Thomas. And then if you had Kamara, you would think there'd be more of a focus on him. You may think about Latavius Murray picking him up because, you know, they probably focus on the run more. Because if Taysom Hill is your quarterback, it's going to be a run-oriented offense. But questionable. If I saw doubtful, then I would get a little concerned. But you're probably
Fred. If I set the over under at 3.5 for Alshon Jeffery receptions, I'm taking the under.
That's fine.
You're hoping, Chet. That's all. You're just hoping.
Just saying.
He was on pace for everyone trashes him, I don't like the locker room end of it. I always trash that, but I never trash his play. He had 45 catches and 4. He was on pace for 90 catches and almost 1,000 yards last year. As much as we crushed him.
I just don't know how much he wants to be there anymore. So we'll see.
We'll see.
If he wants another contract, he's going
to have it. All right. Well, hey, let's get on to our predictions for the week. First, Chet, what are the standings so far? How's it going?
Fred and I had 2 different picks last week, and we split those 2 games. So we were 2-2 overall. No change in the season standings. Fred is still up by 3 games on me. He's 27-10. I'm 24-13. And in case anyone asks, I'm not conceding.
Saying that. I hear you. Well, we'll do a recount later. Okay. There are just 2 NFC East games again this week with Dallas on the bye week. So we threw in a couple wild card games just for fun. So let's get it going. We got the Washington football team visiting Detroit. There was no line as of last night on that game. We added the Seahawks at the Rams minus two. We added Thursday night's game, Colts at the Titans, which could be a good one, Titans minus two. And last, the Eagles visit the Giants. The Eagles are minus 3.5. So, Fred, who do you like of the football team at the Lions as a pick 'em?
The football team, I haven't liked their quarterback situation at all. The offense, now again, it is the Giants. They play the offense, seemed to totally spark when Alex Smith came in. And the following week, when he played a few weeks ago, he had, I think, a touchdown in the half he played when he came in for the other guy. I can't think of his name. Anyhow, I like the offense better with Smith starting. I like the offense better with Smith starting. He's a veteran. I think they can be, Detroit's defense isn't that good. I'm going to go Redskins.
All right. I took Detroit. I don't know why, but I did. I took the Lions.
All right. Seahawks at the Rams. Rams minus two.
Oh, that is shady. That's telling you that they want everyone to take the Seahawks. I don't know. Russell Wilson's been turning the ball over. Everyone crushes Wentz. He has like 8 turnovers in 3 games. They're on the same level there almost. But I thought only Wentz does that. But I guess I'm going to go. I'm going to go. Man, that's tough. I'm going Seahawks. I don't think they lose again. I'm going to go at least this following week. I'm going Seahawks.
Yeah, I'm doing the same because I just think Russell Wilson is too good to have a second straight bad game. The Seahawks defense is not what it used to be, certainly, and that scares me. There's going to be a lot of points scored in this one, but I think Wilson's going to have a big game and Seattle wins.
All right. Thursday night, Colts at the Titans. Titans minus two. This could be a good one.
Yeah, the Colts were leading at the Ravens. I thought they were on their way to a win, and then they just imploded. I didn't like the implosion there. I'm going to go with the Titans. I think it'll probably be a little higher scoring. They'll be able to run the ball, I think. Tannehill's had a couple mediocre weeks. I think he's going to step up. I'm going to go Titans.
That should be a pretty good Thursday night game. And just because they're home in this case, I'm taking the Titans also. So Tennessee for me.
Derrick Henry's a beast, by the way.
Yes. Yes, oh, yeah. Yes he is.
All right. Eagles visit the Giants. Eagles minus 3.5. What do you say?
Coming off the bye, Miles Sanders back, Alshon back. I think Sayamalu is on the 21 active. I don't know if he's playing or not. We're getting healthy. Give my quarterback some time to throw. The Eagles roll. I like the Eagles rolling on Sunday.
Give me a score.
31-14.
Wow.
I think this game is going to be a lot closer than you do, Fred. Nothing has come easy to the Eagles this season, and I don't see it starting. They struggled with the Giants 3 weeks ago, and I think this is going to be a struggle again. The Giants have played, you know, reasonably well these last 3 games. Played Washington tough, not that the football team is anything great. They played, Tampa Bay the previous week, almost beat them. Is that the game I'm thinking of?
Yeah.
Yeah, Tampa Bay. And so they're playing better under their new head coach. But I do see the Eagles pulling this one out with all the guys coming back. And I have a final score of the Birds 27, Giants 20.
Yeah, Jed, I'm with you on this. I think this is going to be a little closer than we might think. I think the Giants are getting better. I also think the Eagles are getting better, and the Eagles are getting healthy, as you said, Fred. So I think the Eagles are going to play better. I'm not on a blowout. I'm not all the way there yet on this.
So just one different, Washington, Detroit. You have Washington, I have the Lions.
All right. Fred, before we let you go, let the viewers know where they can follow all your social media outlets, all the things you got going on, because you're a busy man.
You can find me at Freddie Burns on Facebook, @FredHugo_ on Twitter and Instagram, and Edge of Philly Sports. Every Wednesday night at 9:30 p.m. I also do an Eagles preview article on eopsports.com. And check my Twitter and the bets. I crushed it again this weekend. I went 6-7, 7-1 against the spread.
Wow.
Ride me while I'm hot. Eventually it's going to crash. EOP bets. But thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, Fred. Thanks again for taking the time. And we'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Thanks, Fred.
All right. All right, Chet, let's give a shout out to our partners over at Edge of Philly Sports Network and their shows. You can check them all out. We got the Broad Street Bully Podcast, Drew, Jeff, and Doyle talking Flyers hockey with some amazing guests and hilarious banter. We have Bird's IQ every Monday, 7 p.m. live with Kyle and Eric Quinn talking Eagles football and reacting to the Birds as they battle their way through the NFL. And, of course, as Fred mentioned, Edge of Philly Sports Live, Joe, Freddie, Big Al, cover 4 for 4, and so much more Philly sports. Watch them live Wednesday nights at 9:30 p.m., not long after this one ends.
Mm-hmm.
And you can check out all their shows at www.eopsports.com. Help us out by hitting that subscribe, follow, and like buttons, and always share with your friends and family, and certainly like and follow our show.
Please do.
That's right. All right, Chet, great guest again tonight at WIP's James Seltzer, Edge of Philly Sports, Freddie Burns. Two young guys with a lot of passion about their Philly sports. They're fun to have on and fun to listen to. So
absolutely.
Who do we have coming to Philly Press Box Radio next week?
Well, I had somebody booked, and then this afternoon we mutually agreed to postpone it into December just because there might be an issue next week, 50-50 shot. So we just said, you know what, let's wait till it's a sure thing in early December. So right now we don't have anybody booked for next week, although I do have 3 of the 4 following shows booked. So we'll announce next week's guest in the next day or two.
All right. Sounds good. We'll get to it. All right, let's take a quick break again and thank our friends at the PPCC 118 Raz Room. They post great sports memorabilia on their Facebook page so people can take a chance of winning something they may not be able to afford or have access to. All items come with certificates of authenticity. They continue to run out great autograph memorabilia for all the Philly teams and more. They have 11 line Razes, mystery boxes, and now a memorabilia shop. Check out their Facebook pages, like them or follow them. It's PPCC 118 Raz Room and PPCC 118 Raz Room shop on Facebook. Hey, Chet, I wanted to hit you up because we have an extra minute here. I got another problem. I'm flipping, all right? Unlike me to flip. I've been pretty hard on the whole Pete Rose does not belong in the Hall of Fame thing because he cheated or he gambled. And, you know, one of the cardinal rules is don't gamble. It's on the doorway of every locker room. We've discussed that a bunch of times. But AJ Hinch and Joey Cora now have jobs after a 1-year suspension, and they cheated. They knowingly cheated and won World Series. I'm flipping on the Pete Rose thing, at least for now, because daggum. I mean, Pete Rose has been on the outs for 35 years. And these guys flat out knowingly cheated, and everybody knows they cheated, and they're right back as managers in the major leagues in 1 year. I got a problem with that.
Yeah, and I can understand that. I was a little surprised, too, that they both, you know, are back in baseball already. So it's kind of a double standard, perhaps, a lot of people would say, for Major League Baseball. But, you know, I think Pete had a good shot until the stories came out about his little escapades with teenage girls, which hurt him a few years ago. Totally different from gambling, certainly, but I think that really hurt his chances.
Well, I don't think he wasn't going in the Hall of Fame anyway. I mean, that hurt him in his Philly Wall of Fame thing. It kept him off the Philly Wall of Fame. But he's not going into Major League Baseball, into Cooperstown, ever.
And, yeah.
You know, it's just not going to happen. And the standards, you know, we went through the whole, well, these guys did steroids and there was all that. And now, but this is a little even different than that in my mind. This team, led by these guys, cheated.
Yeah.
You know.
I understand. I sympathize.
Yeah. Anyway, that's my rant for tonight. That could have been a parting shot, but I wanted to throw it out there.
All right. Hey, Bill, I got to tell you, we've been doing a lot of in memoriam segments. Not that we were planning to, but we've been doing that a lot lately, unfortunately. And we lost some more big names over the past week. One of them from the sports world, Tommy Heinsohn. Neither of you remember him as a player. I think he retired in 65, but we certainly do remember him from his many years coaching the Celtics. He was there for 10 years and then a lot of years as a broadcaster as well. And I didn't realize that he's actually been inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame, both as a player and a coach, which is a pretty nice honor. Mm-hmm. Tommy Heinsohn. In the entertainment world, we lost a comedian who was very popular on the talk show circuit in the 1960s and 70s, known for his malaprops. Do you remember this guy, Norm Crosby? He died the other day at the age of 93. Funny dude. I used to love watching him on the Tonight Show and the other shows.
Yep.
And, of course, the big news over the weekend was the fact that we lost one of my heroes, really. And if I can find his picture, I'm going to put it on the screen right now. This guy, the sad news came Sunday that Alex Trebek left us after a more than 18-month battle with pancreatic cancer. He hosted Jeopardy for 37 seasons and was one of those guys that was just loved by pretty much everyone in the entertainment world and beyond. Rest in peace, Alex Trebek, 80 years old.
Yeah.
You were a Jeopardy guy? Did you watch Jeopardy?
Yeah.
Regularly?
Yeah, I didn't know any of the answers, but I watched it.
I would actually watch it, you know, a lot of nights, and especially with my kids when they were all there in the house, we would watch it, and I would count how many I knew as we went along, and out of 60 answers, I would generally know about 15 or 16 on a good night. When they did like Celebrity Jeopardy, I would sometimes get up to 24 or 25 because the questions were a little easier.
Right.
Meanwhile, my kids would know, you know, like 25, 28, even on the tougher Jeopardy, making me feel kind of like a dumb old guy.
Hey, and you forgot one thing on a more positive note. We have a birthday of an actress that you might have missed.
Ah, who's that?
How about Demi Moore?
Yes, 50-something today.
7 or 8. 57, 58.
She was quite a looker in the day, I'll tell you. Some other things here that came to mind. We lost Pelly Lindbergh 35 years ago yesterday. I often wondered what the Flyers might have done had, you know, Pelly been around in the late 80s. I think they would have won that third Stanley Cup, maybe even a fourth if he were around. And on a much happier note, a beginning of life announcement. Congrats to our pal Joe Valley and his wife Meg on the birth of their daughter, Dorothy Rose Valley, 2.5 weeks ago. I forgot to mention that the last 2 weeks. So congrats to Joe and Meg on their beautiful little girl.
All right. Do you have a little Jeopardy game planned for me? Do we have time for that?
I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay.
I wish I did serious. Because I do love Jeopardy and I would have made the answers easy, but didn't get around to it.
Well, and I thought you were testing me. Okay, good. I'm glad I didn't have to do it.
Okay, in the category of sports, Bill Furman, this team just finished the MLS regular season with the best record in the league.
Yeah, that would be those Philadelphia Union.
You have to ask in the form of a question, Bill.
What does it go? I don't know.
Who are the Philadelphia Union? Who
are the Philadelphia Union?
There you go. That is
correct. They're having a parade.
They're having a parade?
Are they?
Well, they just, it's the regular season. They have to go to the playoffs now.
Oh, okay. I must have missed that.
Yeah.
All right. Jet Philly Press Box Radio website is up running full speed. You can watch this podcast and our Vimeos, some current Philly sports articles, some articles we've written. The YouTube channel is up and running. We need some more clicks and likes on that YouTube channel.
Yeah, we do. And a lot of people watching us, hopefully right now, live on that YouTube channel, because as of last week, we're able to do the shows and put them right on the YouTube channel as they are happening, which is kind of cool. So yeah, if you're not there now, go to YouTube, type in Philly Press Box or Philly Press Box Radio. Either will work. Subscribe to our channel. You can watch all the 60 plus videos that are there now. And we add at least one every week with the latest show and occasionally a couple other segments. Probably the James Seltzer pop culture thing will show up as a separate segment tonight, because that was a whole lot of fun. That's all.
All right. Any parting shot for you tonight?
I do, Bill. One other thing. We got word the other day that Major League Baseball and several teams did a lot of shuffling with their minor league system. A lot of teams switching affiliations. Some of those minor league teams just getting cast aside. And that includes the Trenton Thunder. The Thunder have been the Yankees' AA affiliate the past 18 years. And the team found out through the media over the weekend that the Yankees were dropping Trenton in favor of Somerset up in Bridgewater Township. From what Thunder officials have said, the Yankees assured them since the end of the 2019 season that their relationship would continue. And that was the case even during the whole pandemic this year. Then all of a sudden at the last minute, the Yankees reversed course, didn't even tell the Thunder directly about the old switcheroo. So as I said, they found out through the media. Right now it's sounding like there will be no baseball in Trenton in 2021. And that's a shame. Arm & Hammer Park or Waterfront Park. And I was going to put that picture up, and of course I forgot to do so, but Arm & Hammer Park, it's also known to most people in the area as Waterfront Park. It's a beautiful, fan-friendly ballpark and a great night out for area residents since 1994. I've been there at least 20 times over the years, and this is just awful news for stadium workers, fans, and area residents. So shame on the Yankees for this decision, and particularly for the way they handled it.
Yeah, not so good. Just a couple other things. Alec Baum did not win the Rookie of the Year, unfortunately.
Came in second.
Came in time for second. And also, Chet, we missed this last week. I didn't think about it until afterwards. Cesar Hernandez and J.P. Crawford, two former Phillies, both Gold Glove winners in 2020. How about that?
How about that?
How about Cesar? That was actually pretty cool. You know, and a nice tweet from Larry Boa about all the extra balls that Cesar had taken over the years, and much praise to Cesar for winning that award. So that was kind of cool too.
Congrats to both of those guys. They're going to have a better offseason than the Phillies will probably. I'm a little worried about that Phillies organization, just like James Seltzer is.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. All right. You ready to wrap it up? You got anything else?
Nothing. Right. Wrap it up. I'm hungry.
I hear you. Let's thank tonight's special guest, James Seltzer and Freddie Burns, our sponsors, the Irish Rover Station House, Bob Sullivan's LakeYourAge.com, PPCC 118 Raz Room, and Dave LaVoy of Allstate Insurance in Westchester. For Jim Chetchesko, this is Bill Furman, and we hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll join Philly Press Box Radio next Wednesday, November 18th at 7 p.m. You can see us live on Facebook or listen through our website, PhillyPressBoxRadio.com, on BlogTalkRadio.com/PhillyPressBoxRadio, on Google Podcasts, as well as Apple Podcasts and others. So high hopes, Philadelphia sports fans, and go Birds!